This is The Express with Gary Allen, your 360-degree view of the world. Now, here's your host, Gary Allen.
And welcome, everybody, to this episode, Tuesday night, of The Express. Gary Allen with you. I will introduce my guest in just a minute, but I just wanted to share something with you. Circle your calendar for October 9th, again, a Tuesday evening. I will have Loretta Swit on, or Hot Lips Hooligan from MASH, along with some other people that will be joining us in the not-too-distant future. I'm working on an awful lot of wonderful guests coming up. The guests that I have tonight, and by the way, thank you all very much for joining us here on The Express. I know you could be watching the NBA semifinals in the East. Hopefully my Celtics will pull it out, but who knows what's happening. My guest this evening was supposed to be with us on two previous occasions, but unfortunately something came up on our end, and she was gracious enough to say, don't worry about it, Gary. I'll come on. Don't worry about it. She is the publisher of Story Monsters. It is a magazine, a corporation. She is an absolutely wonderful lady, Linda Ratke. She's the president and publisher of Story Monsters, Monsters LLC. She's as well as the publisher. She's been in the business for well over 30 years. She's a leader in creativity, innovation, and customer service. She has also helped people publish their articles and their books. She's very big in public relations. She's also very big in helping people get where they need to be, as well as paying back to the school systems. And we're going to find out about what it's like to be a publisher, how she got started, how she's helping other people, and how she might be able to help you if you have a story out there that you want to tell. Maybe Linda can help you. So without further ado, I welcome Linda Ratke, president of Story Monsters, here to The Express. Good evening, Linda.
Good evening, Gary, and thank you for the invite again. And I guess it's true that third time is a charm.
Well, if that's the case, I've got one more marriage to go through, and then I get to the third one. I don't know if that's really going to work or not. By the way, I also forgot to mention that your motto is you can't compromise on quality. Do it or do it right or don't do it at all. So I know my father and mother would certainly agree with that, and so would people out there listening. Also, Randy, thank you so much for taking the time to listen in tonight. I know that you're out there. N.E.W., if you could please let me know what the Celtics aren't doing tonight, I'd appreciate that too. Linda, talk about your company and its mission.
Absolutely. My company is Story Monsters, LLC, and the name of my magazine is Story Monsters, Inc., and that's I-N-K. I started in the world of publishing back in 1985. I started first by actually doing my own books, and through trial and errors, I discovered what worked and what didn't. And I thought maybe there are other folks out there that are maybe stumbling along the way and not sure what to do in terms of marketing or promoting their book. So through Five Star Publications, I created a division called Publisher Support Services. Well, about 3 or 4 years ago, I transitioned from Five Star Publications to Story Monsters, LLC. We still help folks produce, promote, and market their book, but we have gone from traditional publishing to partnership publishing to help folks, as you said with my motto, do it right with self-publishing, or my advice is truly not to do it at all, because you truly have one first impression. And we do try to help people save and cut corners, but cutting the wrong corners can ultimately cost you distribution, it could cost you sales, and it could cause you to not receive any publicity or, God forbid, bad publicity.
Right. And, you know, the thing about the publishing business in the last 25, 30 years or even longer, I had an aunt, God rest her soul, my aunt Betty. She was with Simon & Schuster. She was an editor. As a matter of fact, her office for many, many years was right next door to Jacqueline Kennedy's office. So I got to see Mrs. Kennedy an awful lot when I would go visit my aunt. And she introduced me to books when I was a child. And she got me interested in books. But the publishing business, being what it is, has forced people to become self-published people or to find people such as yourself to help them publish, because unless you're a big name, you're not going to be heard by anybody. You know, it goes without saying, you know, if you're Tom Brokaw, you're going to get heard by publishers about producing a book. And now if it's a lousy book, they're not going to go far with you. But if you're Joe Schmo Gary Allen, chances are nobody's going to pay any attention to you unless some editor picks it up and reads it and goes, oh, my God, this is great. So what you do is vital to our communities and vital to the school system and vital to those authors who have something to say. And I want you to comment on that, as well as, do people come to you and say, oh, I have a story? They give you that brief outline and you realize, no, there really isn't much here. It's just kind of a pipe dream. It's like everybody wanting to be on American Idol in the publishing world. I mean, how do you base who you help and who you don't help? And talk about the fact that self-publishers have to do that now because of the business.
Well, first off, I'd like to comment a little bit about when you talk about if you don't have a known name. Do you know what I've seen changing over the last 35 or 32 years? I am now having known name, respectable authors published by the big presses choosing to do self-publishing or partnership publishing.
Really?
They're doing it for, yes, they're doing it for hopefully maintaining quality and having control. And when we help someone with their book, Gary, with self-publishing, they own 100% of all rights. But, you know, we get, you name it, and I've been pitched it for a possible book idea. And everyone thinks that their book is going to be the next bestseller.
Yeah.
But the challenge is, Gary, is they don't listen to experience. They might be an expert in their field, but publishing and or marketing is not their expertise. And so when they come to someone like, in my case, Story Monsters LLC, and they seek advice, the first thing we want to do, the first thing is do an evaluation of the manuscript. And with that evaluation, we're going to be painfully but diplomatically honest with them. Mm-hmm. The evaluation could easily be 10 or more pages long. The editor is going to go over strengths and weaknesses, make suggestions on where the author can make changes, providing, of course, that the editor, that the author agrees with the majority of changes. But the beauty of it is the ownership lies within the hands of the author, but also that they're willing to listen to experience. Because if they're not, they might as well go to a print shop and say, here's my manuscript, print it for me.
Yeah. Do you find sometimes you have turned away someone and then they went on their own, or after a period of time they went, wait a minute, maybe I should have listened, and they've come back to you and say, forgive me, but I've learned my lesson. I need to listen to you to get this out there because my heart and my soul is into this.
You better believe it, all of the above. And I'll give you an example. I had a mother who happened to be a well-known publicist, and she contacted me because she wanted to have her daughter's book published. We did the evaluation. We, you know, gave her a plan that she really liked, and she hired us. Mm-hmm. Well, before we really got going, she says, Linda, I really want to work with you, but I've made a different decision. And my response to her was, no problem. You need to do that. But if ever, for any reason, you want to come back, my door always remains open to you. And fast forward 3 or 4 months, she did call me, and she says, Linda, I knew in my heart I should have stayed with Linda Radke, but I didn't. Will you ever forgive me and take me back? I said, with open arms.
Yeah.
And these things do happen. I'll give you one other example. I had an author who worked with a very professional artist. She had a children's book. And to be honest with you, the illustrations were beautiful, but the artist did not have any experience with paintings or drawings or illustrations for a children's book. Mm. And unfortunately, she actually was going to hire us to help market it and promote it. And I told her, I said, unfortunately, I'm not going to recommend that you hire us because as beautiful as those paintings are, they're not going to reach your marketplace. They're not going to woo the kids and the parents and the teachers. Mm-hmm. So she turned around and hired us to redo her book. Hmm. And the reality is this, is that there's no magic solution wherever you go. It's right. Taking the right steps, hiring and surrounding yourself with a professional team. And then when you're ready to launch your book, you can be very proud of every single page of the marketing materials, of the website, of your poster and your bookmarks. Because everywhere you go, you're leaving your name and mm-hmm. that first impression. And so, again, it's crucial to take the right steps. I've had people hire us to market and promote a book that we had nothing to do with it, against my advice. But because we're known for award-winning publicity, they still wanted us to do it. There are times when I said, please, you need to make changes, and I've had people beg me. And the times when I've helped market and promote a book that didn't take the right steps, they're not going to get the results. Neither one of us will be happy with the results.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Linda Radke. She is the president and publisher of Story Monsters LLC, Story Monsters Inc. If you wish to learn more about her, you can go on to her website, which is Story Monsters. Is it StoryMonsters.com? Yeah, StoryMonsters.com. And I think you can get all the information you need there. Also, how to contact her if you have a story within yourself. Gary Allen here on The Express, again with Linda Radke, publisher of Story Monsters, Inc. Let's go back a little bit to your childhood, if we could, just for a little bit, Linda. Growing up, I know that most people that get involved in the publishing business, I shouldn't say most, and I should not assume that everyone does, they were avid readers as children. Is that the same for you?
I was an avid reader of comic books, and because I grew up, and, you know, this is funny, you know, you say, my parents didn't have a lot of money, but they had a lot of love and a lot of support, and way back when I would get my 25 cents allowance, I would walk to the local, believe it or not, pharmacy with my mm-hmm. 25 cents, and 10 cents would go to a comic, and 15 cents for candy, and I was addicted to comic books. When I received gifts, and a gift happened to be a book, I treasured it, and I read it over and yeah. over and over again. Yeah. And one other thing that I found myself always looking to for advice was the encyclopedia. It's like the World Book Encyclopedia. Boy, that was like going on to Google back then.
Yeah, yeah. I told you earlier about my aunt who turned me on to books. She gave me three books when I was a little guy, three leather-bound editions of The Three Musketeers, The Count of Monte Cristo, and, oh my goodness gracious, The Man in the Iron Mask. And I kept them in my house with my mom and dad when I moved away, and by accident, my mother threw out a box, and those three books went with it. Oh. And I have never been able to find anything even close to it. Those are three of my favorite stories. I think I've seen every movie about The Three Musketeers, The Count of Monte Cristo, as well as The Man Behind the Iron Mask. I've seen all of that stuff. What was your favorite story growing up as a child?
Well, you know, when you talk about classics, I remember getting a gift from my Aunt Sylvia and my Uncle Art. And there, I had a book about butterflies and a book about trees, and I didn't have a lot of other books, but I treasured those books. They meant a lot to me, and I kept going back to those books. And then, of course, when I was in school, then I would move onward and upward. But believe it or not, the comic books and the books about trees and butterflies, those were my friends.
Yeah. Were you an only child?
No, I had three brothers. I grew up with three brothers and myself, but, you know, just in terms of moving a lot and from school to school, from year to year, I mean, it was just like so many of us, that was my background.
Yeah, I grew up kind of in a poor area of the world, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. I lived there for a number of years with my aunt and uncle. They were brother and sister. And all of us kids were spread about relatives and stuff. And books were my companion, as well as building plastic model airplanes. That was also another one of my companions in life growing up. But I know what it's like to move around a little bit, and it suddenly things that most people take for granted become your bosom buddies. But so I get that. You kind of got into this business though, kind of in a strange way. You were trying to get something done for, were you not a school teacher or a part of the school board or something?
Yes, I was a school teacher for a few years. My degree was in special education, K through 12. After teaching a few years, I ended up starting a household employment agency, believe it or not. And I ran that agency. I was a pioneer at the time when the nanny industry was just starting. And I started a household employment agency where I placed nannies, maids, housekeepers, live-in help, you name it, for household care. And I did the screening. I did the initial interviewing and the placement. Well, in that process, I screened over 5,000 candidates. I would say I placed over 1,000. And I created a process that a person had a better chance of that person staying with them. And so I wrote my first publication. I wrote a domestic screening kit, and I included the steps taken to hire. Mm-hmm. And I also had the forms in there that I used for interviewing. And what happened was when I put this domestic screening kit together, I contacted several publicists saying, will you please help me market and promote this domestic screening kit? And they said, Linda, we'd love to help you. Now, keep in mind, this was back in the 80s. They said, but we know nothing about promoting a book or a product like that. So there I was. I was running my agency, and through trial and a few errors, I discovered the power of publicity. And it was amazing because I was interviewed about my business, about my domestic screening kit, and a lot of members of the media who interviewed me said, Linda, aren't you afraid you're giving away your company secrets? And aren't you afraid that they're not going to hire your agency when they need household help? I said, I think it's going to be just the opposite. I think they're going to find what a good job we do, doing it right. There we go back to doing it right. And that at some point along the way, you're going to feel frustrated. You're going to want to turn that job over to me. And not only did I get phenomenal publicity for my domestic screening kit, but people contacted me to hire the agency to hire household help. So that's how, ironically, I got started in publishing.
And go ahead.
Then I was in a position where people were contacting me all the time that needed household help, whether it was senior care or child care, but they could not afford my agency fee. And I felt bad. I wanted to help them. So I came up with the idea to do a directory of child and senior care services. And not having the money to publish this directory, I contacted one of the biggest banks in I've lived in Arizona most of my life, in Arizona, and I says, I have an idea for a directory for hiring household help. And I says, I think that it will help you as an employer, because what happens if your employees cannot make it to work because their sitter didn't show up, or they needed someone to care for an elderly parent and they didn't show up? I said, so this directory is going to help solve a problem. She invited me down to her office, and she said, Linda, we like this idea. What is it going to take for you to do this directory? And I says, well, I kind of was winging it, to be honest with you. I says, you're going to need to order a minimum, I think it was 1,500 copies. I'm going to require a 50% deposit upon hire and the balance upon delivery. And she says, put together an agreement. Okay, so now I had my foundation. I wasn't taking a financial risk. So then I put together this very simple letter, and I received a list from the local Chamber of Commerce of like the top 100 companies in Arizona, and I indicated that I was going to be publishing this options directory of child and senior care services, and I just wanted to know how many that I should print. So I said, here is an order form. You do not need to put any money, but just let me know how many you might like. Well, The orders started, and I'm not exaggerating, pouring in. People couldn't wait. They wanted to know when my directory was going to be available, and they were ordering 6 copies and 10 copies. And the Mayo Clinic, which was just opening its doors in Scottsdale, Arizona at that time, mm-hmm. invited me in for a tour, and they ordered 70 copies. Wow. So my life as a publisher and a marketer was just beginning. I had my agency for 5 years, and my husband said, you really liked doing the kit and the options directory. If you could sell your agency, would you, and then pursue publishing? Well, the answer was yes, and the rest is history. And so that started my life, believe it or not, as a publisher and marketer.
Well, it's always a fascinating story, and we're talking to Linda Radke. She is the publisher and president of Story Monsters, Inc. and Story Monsters, LLC. Check her out on Facebook, on Twitter, and Huffington Post, Instagram, at www.storymonsters.com. She'll answer all your questions for you, and she is one of the nicest people you're ever going to meet, her entire staff. Now, there's another Linda there, too, so when you call and you ask for Linda, be careful because you might get the other Linda. Let's talk about something that has taken over in the publishing business, and that's Kindle and some of the other books online. How has that changed? See, I like to hold on to a book. I like the smell of a book. I like the texture of a book. When I'm reading a book, I want to read a book. I don't need to see it on a device. But how has that changed the publishing business from your perspective as a publisher?
You bet. And I feel the same way as you do, Gary. I think it's nice to have options because we want to meet the needs of kids and adults all ages. And if their world is having an iPod, if their world is on their phone or whatever, or mm-hmm. through Kindle, we want to make sure that they have an option of a printed copy and a copy through Kindle. And we have found Kindle to be one of the best formats to offer. It seems to be one of the most popular ones over the years.
How do you come up with the person that's going to be in the magazine? I mean, you have had Nathan Lane on, I believe, the young lady that's here, she works for Fox News. The cover that I have is Ashley Earnhardt. I don't know. Yeah, she's the morning host on the Fox and whatever you call it. I don't watch the network, so it's hard for me to know one way or the other. But how do you pick who is going to be on the cover, and how does it relate to what you're doing that month in the publication?
Well, first off, we have been very blessed with the celebrities and the well-known authors from Henry Winkler, R.L. Stein, James Patterson. And to answer your question, in some cases, their publicists contact us. Sometimes they approach us and they would like us to interview their author. And in other cases, sometimes we do the pitching. But Story Monsters, Inc. has taken on a life from day one. And before the first issue was published, famous celebrity publicists contacted us wanting to have their author, their client, interviewed. There is something about Story Monsters, Inc. Story Monsters, Inc. supports literacy, the love of literacy. And every single famous person who's been on the cover has one thing in common, and that's literacy, and about supporting kids of all ages mm-hmm. and encouraging them, because everyone has a story to tell. And their story is how reading has encouraged them, inspired them, and they didn't all start at the top. And so this is their way of giving back. And the thing that I just absolutely appreciate is when we had James Patterson and he was interviewed on the cover, when mm-hmm. he had a new book coming out, guess what? He wanted to be interviewed again in our magazine. Do you know what an honor that was?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. And from celebrities to athletes to musicians, mm-hmm. the new issue, the digital issue, is coming out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing is we're remembering Mr. Rogers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's amazing. I feel like one of the things that I've heard from so many people is they say, you know what, when I was a kid, that's who inspired me. And now, let's say it's Sesame Street. Let's say it's a different author. Say that author, that celebrity who inspired me as a kid is now inspiring their kids. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how they can relate from one generation to the next, and Story Monsters, Inc. brings those generations together.
You know, it's a good thing you brought that up, because I think that's one of the many things that has separated us over the last 30 years with modern technology. The families are separated. They move on after college. They don't necessarily come back home anymore. And the family unit has been kind of separated off. But it sounds like you've seen in the stuff we're going to get to with the schools that you deal with, you're trying to bring that whole thing back. And by the way, you had a buddy of mine on your cover. Not long ago, I guess. I don't remember exactly when. Elmo was on your cover.
And you know what? He was my childhood. We all love Elmo. You know what I'm
yes.
saying?
Yes. Yeah, Elmo really liked Linda. I like being on there with you. Yes, I did.
And Linda and Story Monster love Elmo. And
yeah.
You know, I want to go back one step, Elmo.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
You asked me something about the mission statement and how the famous folks who have connected with us make it to our issue this month.
Right.
I have to give big kudos to Christy Bertini. She is the editor-in-chief of Story Monsters, Inc., and she is phenomenal, and she gets it. And when she first started working for me many years ago, and we talked about, she's been with me from the beginning of the magazine, and she has the same strong passion every person on my team embraces. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that makes Story Monsters, Inc. and Story Monsters, LLC what it is my phenomenal team. From Christy Bertini, the editor-in-chief, Jeff Yesh, who is a phenomenal illustrator, mm-hmm. Melissa Fales, who is the best writer on Earth. She's phenomenal. I cannot put down my own magazine. It's from page to page because she's such a phenomenal writer. Our book reviewers, from Patty Crane, who works on doing a wonderful job managing our websites, and the other Linda, who we call Lynn, L-I-N, my office manager.
Yeah.
Everybody cares.
Yes.
Not only about the mission statement, about the quality of the magazine, and that's what makes it what it is. And I did want to give out big kudos to each of them.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about your team. If somebody's out there, and we're talking to Linda Radke, she's the publisher and president of Story Monsters, Inc., LLC, the magazine as well. You go online at www.storymonsters.com, and you can check out her website and answer all your questions. If there's somebody out there who is a journalist but loves what you're doing, do you have any openings in the team? Do you take on interns from Arizona State? Because I don't know exactly where those schools are. My one brother went to Arizona. Do you take on interns so they can get a feel and some experience in the business?
You know, that's a good question. I happen to be located in Chandler, Arizona. Christy Bertini is in Massachusetts. And our magazine is global. It's international. And we often get people contacting us. They want to write for Story Monsters, Inc. Mm-hmm. We pretty much have our staff in place, but we actually have another writer who's coming on board with us. And we're thrilled to have her with us. It's Carol Osmond Brown. So we're real excited about bringing her on board. And if someone is interested, because, mm-hmm. for example, I not only publish Story Monsters, Inc., but at Story Monsters, LLC, we help with book production and marketing, websites and publicity. And believe me, we are always looking, like if someone has a great background in publicity and marketing, have them contact me. I would love to talk to them about it.
Yeah, Elmo will call you in the morning. Elmo will call.
Elmo, you're hired. You're hired, Elmo.
All right. Okay, Linda, I'll be there in the morning. Your writer, she lives up in the same area as my brother does, Father Greg. And right now, thank God, our Celtics are beating Cleveland, so I'm very pleased about that. I'm a basketball nut. I'm a sports nut in general. As you know, Linda, we've talked many times on the phone. We're talking to Linda Radke from Story Monsters, Inc. Gary Allen here with you on the Express. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, you have a very strange mascot. It's not Elmo, but you have a very strange mascot. Who came up with that mascot? And the colors, because, you know, I have had it on the website promoting the show, and a few of my friends said, what do you call that? I said, I don't know. You know, I wasn't born smart. You know, I don't know. But I said, I will ask Linda when she's on the show.
Well, that strange, lovable mascot is Story Monster. And Story Monster started out as a performance puppet. And to give you a little bit of background, with a lot of the books that I've published over the years, Rattlesnake Rules by Conrad J. Storrett is an example, we have this big mama rattlesnake puppet. And when we've had him at Costco or different bookstores or different events, and when he's doing the Rattlesnake Rules talk, that puppet is with him. And I'm going to tell you, people of all ages, they just really take to our puppets. So over the years, doing different puppets to go with different books, one day I thought, you know what? It would be nice to have a universal puppet that every author, every child, every adult could relate to. It didn't need to be a book published by my company or marketed by my company. And so that's how Story Monster was born. And my team, we brainstormed ideas. And Jeff Yesh, who does a phenomenal job designing Story Monsters, Inc. magazine, he's a phenomenal illustrator. I think Jeff has been with me almost from the beginning, and I've been in this business since 1985. I talked to him, and I says, Jeff, this is what Story Monster is like. This is how I've created him in my mind. Now, your job is to bring him to life. And, you know, oftentimes the team gets together, and, you know, it's something that we are recently going through right now. And sometimes he'll show us 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 different designs, but we're not quite there. But I've always told my team, when it's right and when it's there, we will all know it, and that's when we stop. And, well, when he created the character of Story Monsters, it started taking on its own life. It started with the performance puppet, which is a hoot. Then I had a costume created, a mascot. Story Monster is invited to so many book festivals, and not just in Arizona. And it's amazing because he is just a magnet for literacy. And when young kids and kids of all ages see their parents and grandparents wanting to be hugged by Story Monster, what they're seeing is a love for literacy.
You know, you bring up literacy, and that was something that we were going to talk about. We're talking to Linda Radke from Story Monsters, Gary Allen with you here on the Express. Hope you're enjoying the show. Literacy is a very large problem in this country, and I don't know. I mean, I understand. I mean, I have friends that don't read. We got a guy sitting in the White House who doesn't read. I mean, he admits it. He doesn't read. He doesn't read books. He doesn't care to read. He doesn't want to read. I have a couple of friends of mine who don't read. As a matter of fact, there was a girl on TMZ, the TV show, and they were talking about reading books, and this is a young girl from LA, and she says, who reads anymore? I don't read. I don't need to read. I graduated from college. How can you graduate from college and not be able to read? I mean, I suffer from dyslexia, so writing for me can be a problem sometimes, and I have to make sure 2 and 3 times when I look over something I've written. But talk about literacy today and how you're helping with the school system and how parents out there can help their children. And sometimes the parents need to learn how to read.
Well, I'll tell you something. Part of the mission is the love for reading. And I'll explain in a little bit how we recently partnered with RIF SoCal. Reading is Fundamental of Southern California. Because the whole idea is for reading for fun, not an assignment. With RIF of Southern California, when new books are donated to them, those books are given to children who normally would not have a new book in their hands. the book's not to be used for an assignment. It's to go home and for those kids to just love reading. Because like you mentioned, Gary, something happened along the way or continues to happen about what happened to reading. And yeah, that's why I think with Story Monster, it's just so important to promote literacy and motivate children to read by providing them creative ways. And I think the magazine gives teachers, it gives librarians and parents creative ways to relate to kids with A, great books. Every magazine has dozens and dozens of great books that are being reviewed. It has inspirational stories in there about their heroes, about their heroes.
Yeah.
So we're bringing reading and literacy home. And again, it's not a job just for Story Monster. Story Monster is passing that job on to parents, to educators, to librarians, to help pass on that mission statement.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting how we have lost the art of reading. It's sort of like, because of all the communication devices nowadays, we've lost the art of communication with one another. The conversation has died out. And I think that's a shame, because books are knowledge and knowledge is ammunition for success in the future. And that's what was impressed upon me by my mother, by my aunts, by my uncle, by my dad. My mother was an avid reader. My sisters were avid readers. And that's how I kind of got going with all of this. Talk about the Story Monsters book bank and how that works.
You bet. Actually, Story Monsters Book Bank has now merged with Reading is Fundamental of Southern California. They are a huge organization. They're located in Los Angeles in Orange County to read for fun. And together we are getting that message out. And even if somebody donates something as simple as $10, it will be put to good use, because it will provide a child a free book. And it's just a small gift that can make such a big difference. So if anyone is interested in knowing more about that, they can contact me, and I will pass along the information to the great folks of RIF of Southern California.
How often do you make visits to schools and to libraries in, say, a month's time?
Well, it's our Story Monster ambassadors who are out there making the visits. Yes, there are times that our Story Monster mascot is invited, like he's invited to the Payson Book Festival. He was at the Tempe Book Festival. He was at the Children's Museum of Phoenix. And most recently, he's being invited to Grub Steak Restaurant in Gilbert, Arizona, to help promote literacy. But it's authors out there who are Story Monsters approved authors who are taking the message and the mission, and some of them have Story Monster reading buddies, little plush reading buddies, because if you can't take the big guy home with you, you've got a little plush reading buddy, Story Monster reading buddy, to encourage reading when they're home or wherever they go.
Do you encourage children to write as well?
Absolutely. As a former educator, I started a program called Kids Can Publish many years ago, along with one of my associates. And now that has been merged into with student writers. And we need and we want student writers. If you go to storymonsters.com, and on the website, there's an area where you can read about student writers. Mm-hmm. A student can submit information with parent or guardian permission, and any article that is published in Story Monsters, Inc. magazine, they will earn $15. So they're going to see that there's a value in writing, that it could be a future job for them, and it's not just writing. Maybe they like to draw. Maybe they like to paint. Maybe poetry is their thing. But we just want them to express themselves, and I'm going to go back to, we want the educators, the librarians, the parents, the homeschool educators to encourage their students, their children, to submit their books, to submit their works to Story Monsters, Inc.
Does everybody within reason now have a story that, if handled correctly, could really make a difference in somebody else's life? Or am I just over exaggerating that a little bit? Not everybody has an interesting story to tell.
I think everyone has a story to tell, and I think to them it's interesting. But going back to getting their manuscript evaluated, we'll bring out the strengths, the weaknesses. And one of the things that I have discovered over the many years in this business is one of the things they think about last, but not to begin with, is marketability. Is there a market for your book? Sometimes it's very therapeutic to write your story. And maybe you do it for your family. Maybe you do it like a journal. And I think that's wonderful. You leave it for your, as a legacy. But if you want to market and promote it, there needs to be a lot of homework done and evaluation done, and that you need to know what you're getting into. There are risks involved in any business.
Go ahead.
Is a business.
Yeah. Well, I have a very famous favorite writer that comes on this program a lot, David Teams, and he writes books on theology and theologians. And also I've talked to many authors over the years, and I remember McCollum once said, and so did, John Meacham, that when you pick a subject, you better be careful what you pick if you're going to write a book, not necessarily a short story, but if you're going to write a book, a novel, whatever, it takes years, and you're going to be married to that subject, that person, that whatever. So you better pick and pick wisely.
I agree with that. And the other thing is, if you have a passion for a subject, but you're not an expert, or you feel you're an expert, but you don't have the credentials, then my advice is to get experts to endorse it. If they believe in what you're saying, then you go to someone who is well-known, because they might not know who you are, but they sure know someone famous who wants to say a few kind words about your book. So, and in terms of believing in it and in terms of living with it, it's like a marriage. And I'm going to tell you something. The most successful authors I work with, like Conrad Stored, Kathy Peach, and a new author, Carol Hageman, they not only have a passion, they not only took the right steps in getting their books published, but they're out there pounding the pavement. It's not going to happen on its own. And I kind of jokingly say, you know, don't ask your publisher what they can do for you, but ask what you can do for your publisher.
Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. Thank you, Mrs. Kennedy. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
But you know what? It's true, because you know what? If you come on board thinking that everything is going to happen on its own, you're in the wrong business.
No, you don't. Even in radio, you may be with a radio station, but you got to self-promote yourself like crazy. Linda Radke's joining us here on The Express. She's the publisher and president of Story Monsters LLC and publisher of Story Monsters, Inc., a wonderful magazine for children out there. Talk about if you're writing a book, short story, whatever, and it's about children. Talk about the ABCs. If someone out there says, I mean, because I thought I had a book once about my cat. You know, Furball does this, Furball goes to the dentist, Furball goes to the vet, Furball does this. But talk about the ABCs that one needs to take into thought when they're thinking about writing a book for children.
Excellent question. And I think one of the things they don't think about is sometimes a person has a wonderful idea for a book for children. Wonderful idea. But it's not the type of book that is going to be accepted in the public schools or private schools. I think you need to, that's again, thinking back to marketing first. If you want to have a shot at getting your book in the school system, you need to find out what's required reading and maybe what could supplement required reading. And I'll give you an example. I published a series called Arizona Way Out West and Wacky, Arizona Way Out West and Witty, and Arizona Color Me Wacky.
Yeah, you sent me one of them. I can't remember which one. You sent me one, and I'm still coloring, but I'm learning to try to color in the lines.
You don't have to stay in the lines, but I'll tell you something. It's a fun educational tool for learning about Arizona. And you know what? Arizona, in the state of Arizona in fourth grade, it's required to study about the state of Arizona. So when I came up with the idea to have to do this series, and I found two phenomenal authors to work with me on it, You know what? Arizona Way Out West in Witte was selected by One Book Arizona for Kids 2012, and boy, did it give that book wings. But going back to your question about doing a book for children, when I thought about doing a book for children, I thought about marketing. I thought about a need, and I thought about what kind of book can I publish that's going to make a difference and that will possibly and hopefully be accepted in libraries and public schools. And now I'd like to talk a little bit about libraries.
Sure.
That's a huge marketplace. Arizona Way Out West and Wacky is an activity book. And you can, you know, it's geared for, you know, against learning about Arizona. But because you can write in it, it would not be accepted by libraries. So what did I do? I did an edition for libraries, Arizona Way Out West and Witte. So if you're thinking about a book, you think about your marketing, your marketability. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to get into libraries, most of them don't want a spiral-bound book. They want at least paperback, perfect bound, or hardcover. These are things to think about if you do not have experience. The other thing I'd like to talk about, when we have an evaluation and we're working with someone who's written a book for children, number one, word count is crucial. And I've worked with many authors over the years who had great story ideas, but they had a 3,000-word manuscript. They wanted to have beautiful illustrations done, and they wanted it for 4-, 5-, and 6-year-olds. And they wanted it for 7-, 8-, and 9-year-olds.
And their attention, the attention span on a child that age is very limited, you know?
Absolutely. And so what was happening is the older child is somewhat, you know, shying away from it because of the full illustrations. The younger child, it's beyond their comprehension. So it's important to have someone who knows what they're doing, evaluating it. And like Conrad Storrad, one of our great editors and authors, the art of writing is rewriting. And again, listening to years of experience. And then it's the author who is the best person to cut and cut and cut until you come up with just the right formula.
One question, only because you're in Arizona and we've discussed this. I think we discussed this. I collect Native American art and stuff like that. Have you done anything with like stories on the Kachinas and Native American life in Arizona and New Mexico?
Excellent question. Many years ago, I was hired by Navajo Community College Press to help market and promote and distribute their books. And I ended up taking over the rights for a book called Manasseh about Native American, like, herbs and plants. The rights now go back to the author. But I was very involved on that level with Native American books. And, you know, one of the things, like, when you bring up Native American books and you think about the Southwest, and I'm always marketing, but now you think about where can I place this book? And then you think about distributors. Well, there's book distributors and there's book distributors. And there's book distributors that distribute to the airport stores. They distribute to the museums. And oftentimes that's where you would find our books. And so when you go back to thinking about a book, whether it's Native American or whatever, you think about the different channels that are available.
Well, it all sounds really, really interesting. Talk a little bit about the Purple Dragon Book Awards and the Royal Dragon Book Awards and the contest.
Thank you for asking. The Purple Dragonfly Book Award and the Royal Dragonfly Book Award are yearly contests. I will tell you the main differences. The Purple Dragonfly Book Award contest is geared for books for children. There are probably 50 to 60 some categories, and the grand prize is $500. There's a first place winner that also gets $100. There's publicity, there's seals, there's certificates, and that's the Purple Dragonfly Book Awards. The Royal Dragonfly goes across all the different genres, including children's books. So if you happen to be an author of children's books, I would encourage you to submit it or your publisher for both the Royal Dragonfly and the Purple Dragonfly. And there's one other contest that I would like to tell you about called Story Monsters Approved. Story Monsters approved is kid tested and judge certified by an educator. Story Monsters approved is based on the individual merit of each book. It's not competing with other books and other publishers. If it earns enough points, it becomes Story Monsters approved. It gets mentioned in Story Monsters, Inc. magazine. They get certificates. And one of the questions you asked me about how often do you see authors out throughout the country, mm-hmm. so on a global basis, there are Story Monster approved authors everywhere doing school visits and talks and encouraging kids of all ages. And that's Story Monsters approved.
Have you had an author that maybe when you started contributed to it that was a young person, a teenager, early 20s, and now is still writing for the magazine, or and once in a while you get an article from them that you publish?
We have a column. When you get, you need to go to storymonsters.com and look through some of our issues, but we do have young contributors. We have a young contributor, Liv on Life, who contributes to every single issue. She's young, she's inspirational, she's motivational, and it lets other children see, even at that age, what can be done.
Yeah.
And so, and I've worked with young authors over the years that have published their own books, and the book has taken on a life of its own, and it has made a major difference, not only in their lives, but encouraging children of all ages as well.
One question that I meant to ask at the beginning, and I did kind of ask it, like, what's your favorite? But if we were to go to Linda Radke's house now, besides magazines all over the place, what book is on your nightstand that you read now for your own pleasure? What types of books do you read for your own pleasure?
I think you'll find me now reading a book by Danielle Steele. It's a great escape mechanism.
Yes.
And I'll tell you something. There are all, like, I'm also starting to reread a book by Brian Weiss. But you know what? I'll tell you something. It inspires me. And I love it when somebody's having their manuscript evaluated while I have editors who read it and do the evaluation. It's just awesome reading what some of the new up-and-coming authors are writing about.
Where are they going nowadays? Is it urban? Is it rural? Is it science fiction? I mean, where are these young folks getting their thoughts, their ideas? Are they taking it from their life? Are they taking it from what they see around? I mean, where are the young stories coming from?
You know, that's a good question, and I think it's across the board. And I think part of what you said is universal. I think a formula sometimes in so many books stems from something that happened to them in their life. And it kind of is one of, like, maybe they, whatever they went through and they survived it, now they're writing about it, and then it's hopefully going to help others get through certain challenges in their life.
Yeah, I think it's very important for people who have grown up with a hard life, a difficult life, to impress upon young people that if I can do it, and believe me, if Gary can do it, trust me, I was like near the end of the line as far as all the kids in my family were concerned. But it's funny, they didn't discover my dyslexia until I went to college. Would you believe it wasn't until I went to college that they discovered I had dyslexia, mostly for math, but a little bit of reading, and it kind of screws around with my spelling. Jay Leno and I have often said to each other, which one of us can spell better than the other? I said, I don't know. I have trouble with cats some days. So, you know, it's like, you know, and that's another thing too. I want to impress upon people while we're talking about literacy and everything. Don't let something like dyslexia set you back. And Linda will, I hope will agree with me. Don't let things like that, because you can go places and they'll teach you how to overcome that. And there's no reason to hold back. Stephen J. Canale, who produced so many situation shows during the 60s, 70s, and 80s, like the Rockford Files and everything, he couldn't spell anything. He had a secretary with him for 25 years. Finally, she understood what he was doing. But don't let anything stop you. I mean, and reading is so vitally important just for communication purposes. It's so vital. I wish I had started to learn how to read younger than I did, but you know, I mean, yeah, whatever. Linda, we've only got just a little bit, about four or five minutes left in the program. Talk about real quick, and then we'll sum this up. Somebody comes to you, they want to publish. What can you do for them, and what are the costs involved?
Well, first off, an evaluation is crucial, in my opinion. If you're coming to us at the beginning, that's the best time. So we've helped people all along the way. An evaluation, depending on the number of pages in the manuscript, probably ranges from $400 to $600. If we're hired to go beyond the evaluation and into offering, whether it's a bronze, a silver, a gold plan for production and for marketing, it could range anywhere realistically from $7,500 on up. It's going to depend, are we doing illustrations? Are we doing a website? Are we doing any marketing? But that's a realistic price to go along with it. And the truth is, you can always find someone to do it for less, but no one better than Story Monsters LLC.
Yeah, I wish I really did have a story within me. I mean, I did think about coming up with some children's books on my cat, Furball, but everybody in the world keeps telling me, oh, no, there's enough books about cats and dogs for children. We don't need another one, in the world, and I wouldn't even know how to begin one or to do. But if someone were to contact you, and we're talking to Linda Radke, who is the publisher and president of Story Monsters, Inc. and Story Monsters LLC, if they wanted to get a hold of you through storymonsters.com and talk to you about how to begin the process, could they do that?
Absolutely. And if they visit storymonsters.com, there's actually a place on the website where they can email me, fill out a form. They can call me. They can email me at Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at storymonsters.com. And just going back briefly on something that you said that's so crucial, if your strength is not in writing, but you have a story to tell, that's the value of a great editor. Don't let that get in your way. Select a great team.
In the about minute and a half we have left, what has Linda Radke learned about herself through this last 35 years of this process and with Story Monsters?
Never give up. And if you have a passion, surround yourself with a phenomenal team and remember one word, believe.
Yeah. And also, if you're going to do it, don't compromise and do it right the first time.
Yes.
Don't let people talk you out of your dream. If your dream is to write and you really believe you have the ability to do it, don't let people talk you out of it, because they will, because they don't have within themselves, and people are real easy to do that. And find out. The worst that's going to happen is you're going to be right where you started from, and maybe the story, or maybe you don't have the ability to write. If I listened to all my friends who told me I couldn't do things, I would have never accomplished anything in my life. And I live by a motto that was given to me by Johnny Unitas. Actually, it was given to a lot of people, and it is, if you take no the first time, you'll never get anything done in your life. So don't let the doors that slam in your face turn you away, because most great people have had doors slammed in their face all the time. I mean, who was it? The guy that started Kentucky Fried Chicken was, 75 or almost 80 before it became successful?
Wow. And one other thing, that listen to your gut.
Yeah.
There, listen to your gut, follow your dream, and believe.
Linda Radke, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on The Express. Linda is the publisher and president of Story Monsters, Inc., LLC, and storymonsters.com. Go in there, check it out. If you have a book within yourself, contact her. She's a wonderful lady, and her Story Monster mascot with the beautiful four blue eyes is a real hit with everybody. And I want to thank you, Linda, so much for joining us.
You are welcome, and thank you for the invitation.
You're more than welcome. And I just want to say thank you to all of you out there for joining us here on The Express. Go to my website, Gary Allen, A-L-A-N, talkshow.com. It'll tell you where to get a hold of all the podcasts, where this is going. Thursday night at 7 p.m., this program repeats itself on our sister station, diversitybroadcastnetwork.com. Then it will go to Progressive Voices, TMV Cafe. Go to our archives on the website. And, EW, thank you so much back there in the home ground territory of San Antonio. And thank you all very much for joining us. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
You've been listening to The Express with Gary Allen. Join us here every Tuesday night at 10 for more captivating talk with Gary Allen. See you next time on The Express.